So I want to, let me just resume from, we started the sheet, but I'll just review the first couple of short sources briefly, and then we'll continue on in the Makoros. We may or may not need our Gemara. Our Gemara had said that if you have a beged in which kilayim got lost, meaning there's a little bit of linen in it, but nobody knows where it went. So we already explained that you're not allowed to wear it. We don't apply bittul by kilayim by definition.
It has to be woven in, right? It just can't be...
Yes. But if it weren't woven in, it would also be easy to remove. And so it has to be woven. It has to be shua tava vinuz, as the rabbinic expression goes, whatever exactly that means. But yes, it has to be somehow... In fact, the Gemara's proof... There's only one time that halacha permits wearing shatnez.
The Kohen Gadol's
begadim, some of the begadim the big day Zahav wore, but tzitzis is permitted. You're allowed to wear shatnez and tzitzis. And the reason for that is that the Torah generally has two begadim. There are two kinds of begadim that everybody agrees exist in the Torah: beged semer and beged pishtim, wool and linen. And there's a mitzvah of putting tcheles on a four-cornered beged, and tcheles by its very definition means wool dyed with the dye of tcheles, not just any material dyed with tcheles. And therefore, if you wear a linen garment, a four-cornered linen garment, which you are allowed to wear, then you would be obligated min haTorah to put tzitzis on it, and you would be obligated to put tcheles on it. And the Torah has two psukim next to one another in Parshas Kisetze. The first one is lo silbash shatnez, the isser of shatnez. The next one is gedilim tasalach, the place where the mitzvah tzitzis is repeated. So Chazal learned from that the principle aseh do halos aseh, that the mitzvah aseh of tzitzis sets aside the los aseh of wearing shatnez. So that's the one time that you're allowed to do so. We don't do so for various reasons. It would seem that we're afraid about beged laila or wearing it at night when you're not chayiv, you're not mekayim in the midst of tzitzis, and you're violating the aser of shatnez, and therefore we don't do it. But outside of that, the reason I mentioned this, Sam, is your question about being woven in, not necessarily woven in, but the Gemara says the following: when we tie tzitzis, so we tie a lot of knots. Right, when you tie tzitzis, you typically start out with a double knot, right? You know, a very simple double knot, and then you start to spin them around and make the chulios, and you have a whole bunch of knots. But the Gemara says that from the fact that the Torah permits shatnez in tzitzis proves to you that kesher elyon is doraisa, that the top knot in tzitzis, you're obligated to tie in haTorah, because if you weren't obligated to tie the top knot, if it were just enough to stick the strings through the tzitzis and hang them that way without a knot, then it would not be permissible to tie the knot and to have shatnez, because since it would be possible to both be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis by simply hanging on the garment and at the same time not violate shatnez, so we only say that an aseh pushes aside a positive commandment, pushes aside a negative commandment, the los aseh, when it's ef shel lekayim shneim, when it's impossible to do both of them, where you have to either violate one or fail to fulfill the other, then we say aseh is doch los aseh. But if it's ef shel lekayim shneim, it's a principle of Reish Lakish enunciates, ef shel lekayim shneim, you don't say the aseh is doch los aseh, you do both the aseh and the los aseh. So the Gemara says from that shma mino kesher elyon midoraisa, that the top knot is the oraisa. So it doesn't have to be woven, that's one way of doing it, it has to certainly be tied, it has to be attached. So the Gemara had said that you're not allowed to sell, if you have a beged, which doesn't look like it's shatnez, but you know that there were a couple of strands of linen that got mixed in somewhere, you're not allowed to sell that to a guy, because he'll turn around and sell to the Jew. The Jew, you know, they didn't have shatnez checkers back then. So you're not allowed to sell to a guy, he might turn around and sell to a Jew. But you are allowed to use it as tachrich on the mace. You're allowed to use it for the shrouds when you bury a person. So now why is that so? So firstly, Tosos observes already that it doesn't have to. It's not only a beged sha'avad bo kilayim that you're allowed to use for a mace. You could have a beged of kilayim amish. Not that it, you know, there's a couple of strands of linen. The entire beged is obviously linen is tzemer pishtim. You're allowed to use that as tachrichim for a mace as well. Now the reason why you're allowed to use either one, let's say the first one, a beged sha'avad bo kilayim. We're assuming there's no isser for the mace to be wearing shatnez, number one. And number two, once something is designated and used for a mace, it's aser bahana. So anything that is meant to be buried with the mace and is placed with the mace, as soon as it comes in contact with the mace or on the bed of the mace, it is now aser b'hana. There are lots of interesting discussions in halacha about peyanachris, that it could be a man or a woman. It's more typically a woman who was wearing a sheitel that was attached to her when she died. It's mechuber l'mace. There's a question about jewelry. Are you allowed to remove those things from the mace because the mace is aser b'hana? The answer is the latter is certainly yes. For the former, not clear. But anything which is designated put with the mace for kavod hamace and intended to be left there, so it becomes aser b'hana. Just like the mace is aser b'hana, so the tashmish hamace, the accessories to the body, are also considered aser b'hana. So if you take something and you use it as tachrich and for mace, the one thing you know is that nobody is going to take them and wear them because it's aser b'hana. Okay, so let's. I want to just reread the Gemara now, starting in Menachos, in the first source on the sheet. The Gemara had said the following: that you're allowed. Amar Rav Tubi Bar Kista Amar Shmuel Klei Kufsa Chayav Mitzitzis. We explained this last week. Shmuel's position is that the chiv of tzitzis, the obligation of tzitzis, is a chovas habegah, not chovas agavra. So if you have a four-cornered garment that you intend to wear, even if you're not wearing it yet, you have to put tzitzis on it. Then the Gemara says, "Umodeh Shmuel bezakein sha'asa lechvodo shepetura." If an older person, and it could be anybody, but typically an older person has prepared tachrichim, so then that you don't have to put tzitzis on it because the tachrichim are not meant to be worn when they're alive, only worn when they've died, and there's no mitzvah for a mace to wear tzitzis. My taima asher techase ba'amar achman. And high love le'ichsuye avida. So since this garment is not meant for wearing to a living person, therefore there's no obligation of putting tzitzis on it. But ahishata, the Gemara says, when the person dies, vadai raminanle, we definitely put tzitzis on then, mishum lo'egel arash chayrev oseya, which means one who mocks the poor as has blasphemed his master, God. So this concept of loeg larosh is something we find in other places with regards to a mace. It could apply, by the way, not only with a mace. Any situation where, in certain contexts, doing a mitzvah might be mocking a person who can't do the mitzvah, so that might be considered loeg larosh. So the Gemara in Brachos, the Mishnah in Brachos says that the Misha Mesa Mutalafanav. So someone who's a relative has passed away and is sitting in and is in their presence, and this applies not only to someone who is a karov, who is going to be an avel, is not an avel yet, but even to someone whose job is to watch the mace. So the halacha is that they're not allowed to read Kriya Shema and say brachos and eat in the presence of the mace. You have to move a certain distance away. And the reason for that, the Gemara says, is because loeg larosh. It's mocking the poor, in this case the dead person, who can't do mitzvos anymore. So the Gemara says that when it comes to the tzitzis, so if one has to put the tzitzis on when they bury the mace, because to not do so is loeg larosh. Now the question is, why is it loeg larosh? Is it because the mace is wearing a garment now, and that garment, if the mace were alive, would be chayiv in tzitzis, and you're not putting tzitzis on it? Or is it because the people who are being misasek in the mace themselves are wearing tzitzis? That's not entirely clear. The Gemara in Brachos, talking about it, does tell a story about someone who was walking in the Beis HaKvaros and the tzitzis were dragging. And someone told them, you have to pick them up because it's loeg larosh. Now, the one is an aside, what one sees from that Gemara would appear is that there's no iser when your tzitzis are on the floor. Tzitzis don't have kedusha. I mean, unless it's a bizayon, a mitzvah, but tefillin has kedusha. Tzitzis don't have, but tzitzis are just, are what we call tashmishe mitzvah, not tashmishe kedusha. But the Gemara says that in that case, it was mocking the poor people. We say that people who are dealing with the mace are not supposed to wear tzitzis unless they keep the tzitzis totally tucked in. Because to have them showing would be considered a mockery of those who can't do the mitzvah anymore. So that's what the Gemara Menachos says, whether it's because of the people dealing with the mace are wearing tzitzis, or because the mace ordinarily would have been chayiv in tzitzis, and is no longer, and therefore not to put the tzitzis on is kind of is mocking him, and therefore the Gemara says you have to put it on when you bury the person. Now those of you, I don't know if there are any, Isaac's not here, but the Chever Kadisha people know that our action, we'll get to this, but know that our practice is that we put tzitzis on the mace, and then at some point before, it's a question of when, different practices, they passel the tzitzis. They cut off one of the tzitzis, they cut off one of the corners or something like that, which does not appear to be what the Gemara says, but that is in fact our minhag. We'll talk about how we got there. But in the meantime, the immediate problem that the Baalei Hatosas face, well, the Baalei Hatosas face two problems. They, of course, never formulate it this way. The obvious problem they face, which is the way the problem is confronted directly, is that our Gemara says you can put kilayim on the mace, and yet the Gemara in Menachos says that you have to put tzitzis on the mace. Now, if not putting tzitzis on the mace is considered loig larush, mocking the poor guy, so that you would think that putting kilayim on him is even worse. Right? So, the question is, how do you put these two Gemaras together? And the Baalei Hatosas have a number of different approaches to this. Now, the first source, before we look at Tosos, and I'm going to read two Tososim. The reason I'm going to read two Tososim is because they're slightly different. They're not so much contradicting one another, but the value, when you're learning Gemara on your own, and you encounter a Tosos, so very often at the end of Tosos, it will tell you, V'ayin, in such and such a place, meaning another place where the Tosos appears. And it's often very important to look, because Tosos doesn't always present things the same way. In our case, each Tosos has an answer to some aspect of the problem which is not found in the other Tosfos. Once you've read one, it's much easier to read the second Tosfos. But the Gemara in Nida, Daf Samachal Amid Beis, it's the third source on the sheet, says the following. Tanu Rabbanan, Beged She'avad Bo'kilayim, Harez Aliyim Kerenu, Lo'ovei Kochavim, that was what we saw in our Gemara. You can't sell it to a guy, and you can't make it a saddle for a donkey. You can use it for shrouds. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Zos Omeres, Mitzvos Betelos La'asid Lava. This implies that mitzvos do not apply La'asid Lava. The simple reading La'asid Lava means when God is Mechaya the Mason, so it means that those Mason will not be Mechoyev in mitzvos. And therefore, what's the concern? The concern would have been that when there comes the time of Tchias HaMesim, so this mace arises from the graves, and Oyvei, he's wearing kilayim. You know what the din is? You know, if you all of a sudden, I'm just going to tell this to the boys here, you know, if you know one of the things that you mischief, you know your friend is wearing kilayim. I know it doesn't happen. But if you want to be a troublemaker, you tell them, when in the middle of Fifth Avenue, you know that beged, you know that your pants are kilayim d'oraisa. And then the Gemara says that if you find kilayim in your beged, even in the middle of the shuk, you have to take them off because it's a issur d'oraisa. If we're only issur d'rabbanon of kilayim, if only kilayim d'rabbanon, then kavod abrios is docheh v'lo saseh. If it's only d'rabbanon, but if it's an issur d'oraisa, so then absolutely not. This, by the way, this does not normally come up. Where this can come up actually is with a kohen. The Shulchan Aruch talks about if a kohen, let's say someone dies in the house and the kohen is sleeping and he's not sleeping in any clothing. So if you tell the kohen there's a mace in the house, he's got to run out like there's a fire in the building. But what you're supposed to do there is you're supposed to tell him, can you please come outside, I have something important to tell you about. As long as he doesn't know and is not actively violating it, he's not going to be involved himself. He'll put on at least his pajamas, he'll come outside, and then you'll tell him, okay, there's a mason there, that's why I called you out. I think the Rush in Brachos talking about the Kalayim, he quotes a story, it must have been from the Rishonim, where one student said to his friend, you know that beged is Kalayim, and the Rush told him, okay, that's fine, he's got to take it off now, you give him your clothing. Right? You shouldn't have told him in this context, you should have waited till the context where he went embarrassed himself. But if a person finds kilayim in their beged in the shuk, they have to take it off. So this poor mace, he's finally, after all the trauma of death, and then tchias hameisim and everything that happens then, right, and he probably has cherdas aden, he's afraid he's being summoned for judgment, he wakes up and says, oh, I got kilayim on me. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yosef suggests that zos omeres mitzvos betelos lasalavos. So when he gets up, he's wearing shatnez, and he said, oh, I see, not a problem for me. So then, Amar le Abaye ve'itema Rav Dimi ha'amar Rabbi Mana or Rabbi Yana lo shanu ela lesofto aval lekovro aser. He said, "No, you're not allowed to bury the mace in the shrouds of Kilayim. That only means b'shasa hesped. B'shasa hesped. Now, this sounds a little strange. What do you care what he's wearing b'shasa hesped? So, this may be a little shocking to you, but we tend to think of a wake as a very goyish thing." Of displaying the mace. But that actually is not true. I mean, it is true today. It is true today. We do not display the mace. But if you look in the Gemara, you look in the Mishnah Samoed Katan, it's very, very clear that they used to have the body on a bed, and the face of the body was revealed. Not exactly a viewing quite the same way, and they buried much more quickly. They didn't do anything to preserve the mace, but it's clear that the mace was actually available for viewing. So when you talk about what the mace, I mean, it's a little eerie. I mean, you imagine there, the mace is, you know, we give a hesped in front of the, you know, when there's an aron there, but it's basically a closed box. But can you just imagine giving a hesped when the mace is there with its eyes closed? You feel that the mace is going to all of a sudden sit up and say, one second, that's not true. You know, a rebuttal. So, but they used to do that. So if you're going to have the mace available, visible during the hesped, so you have to have the mace dressed appropriately. So that's what Abaye said to him. You're only allowed to bury the mace in Kilayim, that's Bishasa Hespe. But when you cover the mace, you have to remove it because we're concerned about what will happen to us in Lavo. Now, Amar Le, Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaye, Lav Itmar La Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu La Kovra. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rabbi Yana. Rabbi Yochanan said you're even allowed to bury the mace in the Kilayim. Why? Rabbi Yochanan L'tameh. Rabbi Yochanan is following his view we know from elsewhere. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Maidich Siv Bameisim Chofshi. What does it mean? Amongst the dead there is freedom. Kevan Shemeis Adam Naseh Chofshi Min HaMitzvos. So once a person has died, they are exempt from all mitzvos. So the way Rabbi Yochanan apparently is reading this is that even when comes Tchias HaMesim, so you won't be chayav a mitzvah. So if you're someone really looks at Basar B'chalav and they have a great taiva, you have to be good in this world. You're zochav Tchias HaMesim, and then you can go into McDonald's, you know, when you arise and get your cheeseburger. Of course, when you go to Israel and you get the regular burgers, you realize you're not missing anything, not being allowed to go into McDonald's. But you know, okay, it always looks greener. It looks better on the commercials and on the advertising.
What's the consensus of Chazal about this issue of if you die?
Well, but right here at the beginning of the question.
I was saying, what's the consensus of Chazal about this?
That's a hard question to answer.
Is there consensus, or is it?
So I. There are so many. I think we usually assume the Mesim are Hafshi. The problem is we don't really think about the Tchias HaMesim question. There's so many issues that are wrapped up in this. The first is the Meimon Dedin controversy. Right. Is what does it mean when the Mesim, what is Tchias HaMesim exactly? That's number one. Number two, there's also an assumption wrapped up in this, no pun intended, which is that the Mesim arise Bilvushehim. Now, there is a Gemara Moed Katan. One of the Tanoim told his children, he said, when you bury me, don't bury me in white or black, bury me in gray. Because he said that when it comes the time of Tchias HaMesim, he's not sure whether he's going to wind up. He could wind up amongst the Rishayim, and if he's wearing white and they're all wearing black, that's terrible. And he could wind up amongst the Tzaddikim if he's wearing black and they're all wearing white, so that would be terrible. So kind of, you know, take the middle road or something like that. So there is a sense of this tradition that somehow the Mesim arise in the Begadim. What's difficult about it and why this is hard to approach in a purely rationalistic fashion, you know, people are reluctant to, it's a terrible thing. People don't want to be organ donors. So there's a question of what's the standard of death. But assuming, let's say, you have a psak of whatever the standard of death is, of course a person should be willing to donate their organs. But there's a reluctance in certain parts of the Orthodox community for a fear of what will be lost in Lavo. If I give up my, you know, my heart, then what am I going to have? Now, the normal, sane, rational response is the following. It's that when people die, their bodies are generally reduced to dust. Right? If the Ribbono Shel Olam can rebuild you, B'tchias HaMesim, he can build you a new heart or a couple of new kidneys and corneas or whatever else they've taken. I'm told the Ribbono Shel Olam is a pretty capable fellow. So the question is, why can't he make you begadim? I don't quite understand, why does it have to be those begadim? And the begadim rot, right? So what, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to recreate Kilayim? Okay, I don't know. So I don't know that there is, I don't think we assume, I don't think... I think that if you were to ask a psak question, I don't think we assume that it's us at the very person client that we're worried lost in Lavo. But we don't really know what is lost in Lavo, but we assume that it's fine to bury them that way. Look, we passel the tzitzis. We're not worried that when they wake up, all of a sudden they're going to have to throw their garment off because, you know what happens if you find tzitzis? And if you find your garment, one of the tzitzis is passel, you're supposed to remove the garment immediately. It happens to be that for us, for men in our society, removing the garment doesn't leave them really any less clothed than they were before. But nonetheless, I think our assumption of not concern, the mace is going to get up and say, oi, passel the tzitzis here. Okay, but the Gemara presents this as a machlokes, whether or not there's a concern about mitzvahs b'teilas da'aselavo and burying the mace in things that would be a problem. Right. So the way the Gemara Nida, which is a fuller exposition of our Gemara just has one line, but according to the Gemara Nida, so whether or not you could be malbish a mace in kelayim when you bury the mace should be dependent upon whether or not mitzvahs are b'teilas da'aselavo or not. Okay, so now the question is, how do you reconcile the position, certainly Rabbi Yochanan, and maybe even Rabbi Yonai, that you're allowed to put a mace in Kilayim, at least for the Hespade. How do you reconcile that with the fact that the Gemara says you have to put tzitzis on the person, you know, when they die, and when you put the garment on them, because of Loeg LaRosh? Isn't there an issue also with the Kilayim? How can you put Kilayim on, A, Bishas Hespade, when everybody sees the mace, and B, even how can you bury them in Kilayim? Should that not actually also be Loeg LaRosh? Okay.
Who owns the beged? When you have a mace, who actually owns the beged? I know.
Effectively, the mace. Once the beged is put, there is a discussion about famous machlokas Abaye and Rava in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin, whether hazmana milsa or hazmana la milsa. If a person, let's say, makes their own shrouds and designates his own shrouds, is it already asur bahana right then? So we paskin it's not. We paskin that it's not enough to do hazmana. We paskin you actually have to put it on the mace. But once it's put on the mace, it's asur b'hana. It doesn't matter where it is, it can't be used for...
But if his estate owns it, then theoretically somebody else owns the beged that he's wearing. It could be chayv and tzitzis because that person's chayv.
Oh, so we don't paskin like Shmuel. We paskin that tzitzis is a chobas hagavra, not a chobas habeged. So if you have, forget tachlichim, if you have, let's say you have garments that you're going to wear, you go to the store, this is why I have this, when I buy a talis or I buy tzitzis, I put tcheles on it. So I have to cut off their strings and put on the new strings contained in the tcheles. So you wouldn't say that I have to immediately put the tcheles on. Let's say I'm in the middle, I cut the strings off, and now I can't put tcheles, and my wife calls me because we have to go somewhere. We don't say, I don't say, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to have to be late to the wedding because I got to spend the next hour putting the tzitzis on. It's not a chovas habeged, it's we paskim, it's a chovas hagavra. So that you're right, but that could be an issue, but that's not a problem for this. One more detail before we start reading the Tosus and Nida. One of the interesting things about Kilayim is that Kilayim is a prohibition, Shatnez is a prohibition that is somewhat contextual. What do I mean by that? So you know that if you walk into a store, so today the practice is to check for Shatnez. That's a very common practice. I'm afraid to say this, I'll get in trouble for saying it, but I think people who know that al pidin, in most cases, you don't have to check for shatnez. It depends on the nature of the suits. The suits that I buy, you don't have to check for shatnez. Right? If you buy certain high-end suits, it's common that they have shatnez in it. But I've bought probably over my adult lifetime, I've probably bought 40, 50 suits or something like that. I have yet to find shatnez in the range of suits that I buy. So students come to me and said, I didn't have a shatnez check, can I wear it? My answer is yes, you can. You might want to have a shatnez checked anyway. What's the big deal, you know, on the remote chance? But there's no issue of wearing it in the interim. And there technically is no chiyuv to check for shatnez unless it's the kind of suit or kind of garment that typically has shatnez in it. But let's put aside, let's assume for the moment you're really supposed to check. Let's assume that you're really obligated to check for shatnez, even if you're not. I walk into the store. I try on a suit. Right, I come out, I go in the dressing room, I put the suit on, I ask my wife, I ask the person, the salesman in the store, you know, how does it look, and so on. So why am I allowed to do that? If you're concerned that the beged contains kelayim, then why is it mutter to do so? So the Mishnah in the last parak of kelayim, in the ninth parak, says that mochrik susa mochrim kedarkan. They weren't
trying on the mochi because they were modeling it for you. They were showing you what it looks like.
And mochrei ksus are allowed to sell by kedarkan, the way they would normally, which was to try on the garment to show the buyer what it would look like, as long as their intent wasn't to get hana in the sun, but protection from the sun, or in the rain to get protection from the rain. And that last line is somewhat complicated regarding the question of who cares whether you have kavanah or not, but let's put that question aside. What the Mishnah
clearly implies, if not states, is that kilayim is only osur, shatnez is only osur if you're getting hanah. Not hanah in the classic sense of I get financial or any kind of benefit, but hanas levisha, or what we would call hanas chimum. If the garment provides protection for you, provides warmth, then there's an isur of shatnez. A garment that doesn't provide any warmth by its definition, or whose intent is not to provide protection and warmth, does not include it in the prohibition of shatnez. So the mochrei ksus, the garment sellers, they're putting it on not to get any hana, they're getting put it on to show you what it looks like. So therefore, mochrei ksus are mochrim kedarkan. Now, that raises one immediate, you know, possibility or an obvious consideration, which is a mace doesn't get any hanoas levisha. The mace doesn't get cold, the mace doesn't get hot, the mace doesn't need protection from the rain, and therefore, it shouldn't even be shayach to talk about an iser shatnez for a mace. Meaning, a living person who was an analog to the dead person would also not be prohibited in shatnez. Because if there's no hana'as levisha, no hana'as chimum, warming, you know, protection for the garment, then there shouldn't be any prohibition. So if you had, you know, a cold-blooded human being, if there was such a thing, who didn't need the protection of the garment or something like that, maybe there shouldn't be an iser shatnez either. Obviously, there was no such person, but there shouldn't be an iser. Along with that comes another complication, which is, who says that a mace is beged would be chayav in tzitzis either? For the very same reason that a mace gets no hanas levisha, and therefore it's not a problem of shatnez, maybe if he gets no hanas levisha, there's also no mitzvah tzitzis, because the Torah says, gedilim tasalach, al arba kanfos kisusacha, you should make gedilim fringes on the four corners of your garment, asher techaseba. And asher techaseba, which you envelop yourself, you cover yourself with, so maybe that also doesn't apply to a mace. So that's something that Tosis is going to raise. So, just to review where we stand now in terms of jumping into Tosus, we have one problem already that we've highlighted, which is the Gemara in Menachos says you have to put tzitzis on the mace before you bury the mace because it's loig larush, it's mocking the dead. On the other hand, our Gemara says, and the Gemara Nida says, that you're allowed to bury a mace in kilayim, and you actually have to bury them in kilayim, not just the hespade, if you don't believe that mitzvos are a problem la'asid lava. That's problem number one. Problem number two, which is a classic Balatosis problem, is that in Ashkenaz, they weren't burying the mace in tzitzis. They weren't burying the mace in tzitzis. And the question is, why? Now, one response, of course, would be, and there were a couple of Ashkenazi gedolim we'll get to at the end of the Makoros, who told the Talmidim to bury them in tzitzis. But apparently their efforts never came to fruition. More on that later. But in Ashkenaz, they weren't wearing tzitzis, and the question is, how can that be? If the Gemara says you're supposed to put tzitzis on the mace, why do we ignore it? Now, a couple of other data points which are of interest in general. I know this is hard to imagine our very, very firm ancestors in medieval Europe, but in Ashkenaz, and probably in Sfarad too, in Spain at least, I don't know if all of Sfaradic Jewry, but in Spain, and in Ashkenaz, very few Jews wore tefillin, and very few Jews had mezuzahs, and apparently very few Jews wore tzitzis. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a Chabad practice, you know, they have like the mitzmobiles, and they try to get you put on tefillin. And it is absurd, but it is a remarkable statement that they're Avas Yisrael. And let me explain to you why. I've never seen this in the literature, but I've constructed the thought process of Chabad. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that talks about various kind of, it's in the sugyos that deal with tshuva, that talks about various kind of ovrei aveira. And the Gemara talks about, you know, how long people's judgment in the world to come is, or in Gehenim. And the Gemara talks about a group of people who are called Poshei Yisrael Begufan. The sinners, the Jewish sinners Begufan. And Poshea is like a form of rebellion. Who are these people? So the Gemara in one interpretation says, Karkachta de lo manach tefillin, a skull that never wore tefillin, that doesn't wear tefillin. Now, what does that mean? Not the Gemara. The person doesn't wear tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos as saying there, it's only if the person considers the mitzvah to be bezuyos alav. He considers them to be yuck. He doesn't like it. That's why he doesn't wear tefillin. But if he doesn't wear tefillin because he can't afford the tefillin, he feels he can't treat them with the proper kedusha. So Rabbeinu Tam says he's not called a karkafta de lo manach tefillin. Now, when you see a Rabbeinu Tam like that, it tells you immediately something. He's trying to defend the practice of his Ashkenazic compatriots. Rabbeinu Tam, I'm sure, was wearing tefillin personally, but much of his community was not wearing tefillin, and he could not conceive the possibility. What's that?
I joke about did he wear Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam? You know, that's the question. So it is inconceivable to him that his from chaverim, his from members of his Jewish community, were poshe Yisrael begufan. In the same way that we've seen all over this Masechta, whenever the Balei Tosfos find some practice that's against what the Gemara says, you can't do business with Goyim on that day, or you can't get this hanar and stam yenim and so on, the Balei Tosfos all explain why it's mutter. Why? Because their communities were doing it, and they assumed their communities were kehila kedosha, and what they were doing must have had a justification. Now, here Rabbeinu Tam is not saying you don't have to put on tefillin, but he's not going that far, but he is saying that they're not poshe Yisrael begufan. Now, I assume that the reason why Chabad, why is it tefillin? They don't get everybody to put on tzitzis. They want to get you to put on tefillin. Why? Because their feeling, their interpretation is that if you put on tefillin once in your lifetime, you're not a karkafta d'lamanach tefillin. And that's why they put themselves out there to do what they do. I am amazed. It takes a certain kind of personality. I also think it kind of misses the point. My Ribbono Shalom, because you put on tefillin once because somebody got you, it's not magic. It's by many time captured it correctly. It's about an attitude, not because I magically did the mitzvah once. Therefore, I am spared. I'm not saying that non from Jews are poshe Yisrael begufan. They might be, we might regard them as tinoko shenishbu, but just magically getting them to put on tefillin once, if they deserve to burn, that is not going to save them, in my opinion, and that's not what the Gemara meant. But nonetheless, it's a tremendous testament to the Avas Yisrael of Chabad they've taken that interpretation, and that's what they do. So the Balei Tosfos are facing the problem with tzitzis. People weren't saying that tzitzis is a harder one to justify, because tefillin, at least, has kedusha. And if you don't have a gufnaki, if you can't treat it with the proper, pay enough attention to it, maybe you shouldn't put on tefillin. But tzitzis doesn't have that kind of kedusha. So they don't justify why. But it is apparent that from Tosos, that most Jews weren't wearing tzitzis in their lifetime, which could then explain, as we'll see, changing the equation. Okay, so
the daven with the talis.
What's that?
The daven with the talis. Is that a thing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's a fundamental question that has to be asked in general: how much davening did the Hamon do? Forget tzitzis and tefillin. Remember, they didn't have sidurim. So unless you knew the tefillah yourself, or you daven b'tzibur, and you were yotze with the shleach tzibur, so it's not clear to me how too many Jews davened. If you want to, I would guess. I'm saying this all a little off the cuff, but the reason why the minhag Yisrael of Nashim for a very long time, and still very common, probably still in many parts of the Haredi world, is the yotze with modani. They don't, you know, women are chayvus tefillin, but it's long-standing minhag. You can't, you cannot criticize a woman who doesn't daven twice a day, you know, with regular Shemoneh Esrei, because lots and lots of pious women, you know, were yotze with modani. I suspect that the reason that emerges is because they had no siddur and people didn't have a text, and women weren't going to shul certainly on a regular basis, you know, maybe Shabbos. So how were they going to daven? Right? In other words, we never consider the possibility without a siddur, you know, there's no way, and we don't know how much literacy they had either. So bottom line is, I don't have the Hamon Am davened either. You know, until you had printed Siddurim and more universal literacy, and Jews probably had much greater literacy than Christians. Abelard, the Christian monk, commented, criticized the Christians, that the Jews teach even their daughters how to read. So it sounds like there was a fairly high degree, certainly compared to the general culture, of women's literacy. But nonetheless, you still didn't have printed texts or anything like that, or widespread texts that were available. I don't really know how they daven, but I imagine that they didn't wear tefillin, they didn't wear tzitzis, said I don't know how much davening three times a day they were doing either. Clearly there were people who were davening three times a day, but I don't know. I'm willing to bet a lot of those people also wore tefillin and tzitzis. That would be my guess. Okay, so now let's take a look at Tosfos. So Tosfos has to deal with those two problems. So Tosfos, Dibar Maskel, it's the fourth source on the sheet. Aval osa osam tachrichim lemeis. Tosfos says v'kol shekein im lo avad. And it's certainly true if it's not avad bokalayim, where you can't find there are a few strands of linen, if the entire garment is shatnez, of course you're allowed to use it for mace, because there's no chance anybody would accidentally wear it. In other words, even when it's only avad bokalayim, you're allowed to use it for mace. Why? Because once it's on the mace, nobody's going to get hana from it. Nobody would dare take it. If it's obviously kilayim, so there are two reasons nobody would ever wear it. Number one, it's tachriche hameis, and number two, they can see that it's shatnez. So if you're allowed to use a beged she'avad bo kilayim is just as usher a shatnez as a regular beged, which is straight up shatnez. So Tosa says if you're allowed to use a beged she'avad bo kilayim for a mace, you can certainly use a standard beged of kilayim. The reason why the Gemara says beged she'avad, you can make tachrich lemace, is the afal gav the asira kideprecious, even though it's osir, you can't sell it and so on, nonetheless, the tachriche hamace sharu. Kida amar b'seches kilayim, tachriche hamace ein bahem shemishim kilayim. So even though, in other words, it's mutter, there's no isser on the tachrichim. The chevan dasiri b'hana lo mishtam shibahu v'lo asir lezabur l'over kochavim. If you're allowed to use a beged she'avad bo kilayim, and the fact that it's asir b'hana means nobody will touch it, nobody will take it and sell it to a guy, certainly a straight up beged kilayim is permitted. V'im tomar v'ha'ika loeg l'arash. There's mocking the dead person. Shemal bisho bedavar asur. You're putting clothing on that he's not allowed to wear, at least when he was alive. Umarelo she'enlo od chelak b'mitzvos. You're making an active demonstration on the mace that he's not chayv b'mitzvos anymore. Kida amar behat cheles gabe tzitzis. The Gemara says, we just read this, v'ahishat avadei remina le'mishim lo'ag l'rash. That was a quote. So if you have to put tzitzis on the mace when he dies, how are you allowed to be malbo shim kalai? Upiresh Rashbam. Rashbam suggested the ein bo iser va'afil l'chay ki hagavna she'ein hames nanabo. So Rashbam said, no, there is no violation of kalayim on the mace's part. If you were as dead when alive, if you had the same bodily sensations as a mace, so then you would also be allowed to wear shatnes because you would not be getting hanoas levisha, the benefit, the pleasure of the wearing. From it, and therefore, even by a chai, there would be no iser. So, in a sense, you're not making fun of the mace that he's part of the mitzvahs, you're making fun of him that he's cold as a stone, but that's not a problem. We're only concerned about mitzvahs. Vikasha, says Tosus, but there's a problem with Rashbam's solution. The hot sitzis nami, ein hachai chayebo, im einbo hanas levisha. If there's no hanas levisha, there's also no mitzvah tzitzis. Umochre ksus, de petire mikilayim, peturim nami mitzitzis. I don't know if Tosus has a source for this, but the Mishnah in Kalayim talks about the garment sellers don't have to wear if there's shatnes in it. What about, I want to model for you a talus, but I haven't put tzitzis on the talus yet. Am I allowed to model for you the talus? Tosus says yes. Just like you can have Kalayim in there and model it, so too, you cannot have tzitzis on the beged, and you can model that as well. So Rashbam's solution doesn't work, because if you're going to say the fact that the mace gets no hanas levisha means it's not loeg l'rash, because a living person in the same physical circumstances would be potter, then you also shouldn't have to, the Gemara shouldn't say that you have to put tzitzis on the mace, because if that mace were alive but had the same physical sensations, he would also be potter from tzitzis. And therefore, Rashbam's answer is not an answer. Umefaresh Rabbeinu Tam. The dafka shayich loeg l'rash betzitzis mishum dishkula keneged kol hamitzvos kedenafkalan b'menachos mi uzchartemes kol mitzvos Hashem. The Gemara Menachos says that mitzvah tzitzis is so important because it is considered equivalent. It weighs equivalent to all of the rest of the mitzvahs. Because it says about the tzitzis, risemo so uzchartemes kol mitzvosai. You will see the tzitzis and you will remember all of my mitzvos. So Chazal say, because tzitzis is shkula keneged kol hamitzvos.
That's such a stretch. It's clear. It's not talking about like whether or not the equitability of the mitzvot. It's talking about whether or not this is a schira to...
So, listen, if you want to tell me Pshuto Shel Mikra is not that tzitzis is the equivalent... Listen, bottom line, you ask a person, if you ask me the following, I have a choice. I can either do tefillin or tzitzis. I have enough money to buy only one. And what should I do? And then the answer to the question is, of course, buy tefillin. In fact, tzitzis, the solution is simple. Don't wear a garment that's chayev in tzitzis. Right? There's no... it is a... Minag Yafa Yafa Minag Yisrael to put on a four-cornered garment for men to put on a four-cornered garment so they will be mischayev in tzitzis. It's a beautiful mitzvah. It's a beautiful mitzvah. The idea that you can be wrapped in such a thing. But you're not chayev technically to wear a four-cornered garment. The Gemara does speak very negatively of someone who has a four-cornered garment and rounds out a corner to avoid the mitzvahs. There's a famous Gemara Menachos about this. But if you don't normally wear a four-cornered garment, and in our society,
with the exception of maybe the suits, that's a question. So, I mean, you know, Rav Yoel ben Nun, to avoid any suffix, he splits his suits all the way up, and then he puts tzitzis on them. But we don't assume that this is enough. But we just don't have mitzvah. We don't wear 400-core garments anymore. So we, in order to do the mitzvah tzitzis, have to put on a special 4-cornered garment, whether it's talis katan, talis gadol. But clearly, if your choice is between not wearing tefillin and not wearing tzitzis, it's davar pashut, better to not wear tzitzis and to wear tefillin. So the statement, the shkula k'neged kol mitzvos, is an agadic statement. The pshat in the pasuk, you're right, is that when you see the tzitzis, and maybe we should, maybe the men should all be wearing their tzitzis out. Probably we should be. Certainly those of us who don't work in in certain parts of the world where it's more difficult. But don't ask me why I don't wear my tzitzis out. I'm tempted. But the bottom line is you see the tzitzis, and it's a reminder of God. It's a reminder of Torah mitzvos. It doesn't mean that it's truly equivalent. But the Gemara does speak in those agadic terms. So Rabbeinu Tam suggests that perhaps the chashivus ha-mitzvah of tzitzis is why we're makbid. You could bury the mace with pork chops and kelaim and everything else you want. But tzitzis you got to put on the mace. Tzitzis you have to put on the mace. Because that is such a symbolically important mitzvah that not to put the tzitzis on the mace would somehow be a mockery. But kelaim, okay, there's no way, the meshem achashon, meshem nachayv in any mitzvahs, and it's not mockery to put on shatneis. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says.
The point is this really isn't a halachic, purely halachic conversation.
Well, right, well, so for sure you're correct. Loig larush is not a halachic conversation. Right. Loig larush is, I would say, a societal or a chevrati construct, right? It's how people are going to perceive it, right? Something that will not be perceived as mocking the dead is not a problem. Because it's not a din of loig larush. Whereas by meisim chafshi, or the question of hanas levisha, those are real halachic categories. So that's correct. But here's the problem: v'hada amar b'perek mishamesu. We're on the sixth line where we left off. Sixth line: v'hada amar b'perek mishamesu. Amar le Rebbe leRabchia dalye leknafecha. Lift up your tzitzis, meaning don't have them dragging. The lo lemru, they shouldn't say the meisim. Tomorrow they're going to be joining us in the grave. But now they're mocking us. So but the mace is wearing tzitzis. So how is it a mockery when you're walking, dragging your tzitzis there? So mash mikomakom Tosa says mash anu marim atzmenu bifnehem mikayme mitzvos. The fact that we show ourselves with our mitzvos visible, and we are mikayim the mitzvah. Vehem einam mitzuvim. They're not even of the wearing tzitzis. They're not mitzuvim tzitzis. So that is considered kari loeg larush. That's where Tosa leaves it. Okay. So now Tosus has one last problem, the big one, which is their own problem. The im tomar the achshav sha'anu regilim lohasir tzitzis mitalisos hamesim heichuze. How can we remove the tzitzis? After all, the Gemara Menacho says you have to bury the mace in it, and there's a greater inyan of low, at least of loy larash there. V'harmina b'menacho shalachatchila tzarech litein tzitzis bebigdei hamesim mishum loy larash. Number one. Number two, uva mesei midbar. That's a very fascinating agada, of which I'm not going to elaborate on other than to tell you that there was this Arab, this Taya, who seemed to know everything. And some Amora was asking, show me this, show me that, show me the other thing. And he said, show me the Mesei Midbar. And he took him to this place where there were wisps of smoke rising from the ground. And he says, that's where they were swallowed up. That's from Gehenim. And he listened over there. And let's say the younger guys might know this. It's a famous song. What did he hear Korach and his Eda saying? What were they reciting? Moshe MS Bisaraso MS. That was what their refrain was. Moshe MS Bisaraso MS. And he cut off, and Amora wanted to know something about how they tied Tcheles. So he cut off one of the strings of Tcheles, but then he was frozen. He couldn't move until he put it back. That's a fascinating agada. Anyway, so Tosis is referring to that agada. So you see that the Mesei Midbar were wearing their that was not Korach. Those are the people who died in the Midbar. That was Korach with the one who was saying Moshe Mesemes. But the Jews who died, what they used to do, by the way, and this is the answer, by the way, one of the happiest days in the Jewish calendar is Tu B'Av. Why is Tu B'Av should be the YU Connects day?
right? The young women would go out and dance in the vineyards, and the men would go looking for shidduchim and so on. So why is Tu B'Av one of the happiest days of the Jewish calendar? So the Gemara in the Bavli in Taina says Yom Shekalu Bo Meisei Midbar. It's either in the Mishnah or in the Gemara. That's when the Jews in the Midbar stopped dying. Those who were condemned to die before they made Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalmi tells a full version of the story. What do? Every year, all the people of that generation of a certain age used to go dig graves in the Midbar. They would go lie down in them, and then those who didn't wake up the next morning, they would put the dirt back on, and the others would wake up and wait till next year. Every Tisha B'Av. The last year, when the last group should all have died, they all went and dug their graves. And the next morning, nobody had died. So they thought, maybe we made a mistake, the calendar is off, and it wasn't Tisha B'Av yet. So they went back another night and another night. But when it got to Tu B'Av and the moon was full, they knew that they hadn't made a mistake in the calculation. And apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided to grant amnesty to that last year, that last group, and they were allowed to go. They were allowed to survive and to go into Eretz Yisrael. And so Tu B'Av was when they figured out that in fact they had been forgiven, and that's why it's one of the happiest days. So Tosa says, so the Meisei Midbar, what was the deal? So Tosa says, even though the Meisei Midbar were wearing tzitzis, nonetheless Tosa says, Mihu mehalo kasha. That doesn't prove anything. Shebechol Tisha B'Av hayu nechlasim mikivreim chayim. They would all enter the grave. The Tisha B'Av alive. Ulamachar hakruz yatsa. The announcement would go out. He badlu chayim mitoch hamesim kideisa be'echa rabasi. So they make an announcement. All the living, separate yourself from the dead. Now, so therefore, how does that answer the question? Well, the answer is because when you went into your grave, you knew that you might very well be getting up the next day, so you didn't want to not have tzitzis on your garments. Okay. Aval al minageinu yesh letzmoa mikoach ahid etcheles. You still have a problem. The Gemara Menachos says you bury people in etcheles. The Omer ri debimei chachamim shekulam hayuloshim tzitzis im lo hayalahem gam bemosam. People in the days of Chazal, they all used to wear tzitzis. So if they weren't wearing tzitzis when you died, la gadol haya. It was really a mockery. Shedome kemoshe omrim holu meis ein tzarecho tzitzis. You're dead. No more tzitzis for you. Aval achshav she'ein hakol loshim tzitzis b'chayehem. Most people are not wearing tzitzis when they're alive. Im yasimu tzitzis l'chulam hu yoser loeg l'rush. It's more of a loeg l'rush to put tzitzis on. Shebechayev lo kiyem uvemoser yikayim. That looks ridiculous. Vim yasim l'mishnas. Okay, so then you could say, we only put tzitzis on the people who wore tzitzis when they're alive. So Tosa says, vim yasim it will be an embarrassment for the living. And we have this concept in many cases. It originates in the Mishnah in Bikurim. In Bikurim, you're supposed to read, you can read the Parsha yourself, Avrami Ovidavi. But a lot of people didn't know the Parsha, so the Kohen, word by word or phrase by phrase, would be Makre Arami Ovidavi to the person bringing the Bikurim. The Takana was made that everybody had to have the Kohen be Makre so that it wouldn't be embarrassing or humiliating for the people who didn't know how to read. The practice is, by the way, true today as well. It usually only comes up on Simchas Torah, but if there's a Baal Kriya, and we might be more makel there, but in principle, if you're a Baal Kriya, and you know all the Kriyas HaTorah, and then you get an Aliyah, you're not supposed to ask to read your Aliyah. The person who's reading the Kriya that Shabbos is supposed to read all the Aliyahs, because the Takana of having the Chazan HaKore, what we call the Baal Kriya, or Baal Kore, to have that person read, that was Kidei Shelo Levayei Shesmi She'enlo, not to embarrass the person who can't read from the Torah, and therefore, even if you know how to read the Kriyas HaTorah, you're not supposed to read your Aliyah. You're not supposed to read your Aliyah. So I think that's true on Simchas Torah as well. People are doing rounds of the Torah, even though lots of people know Vizos HaBracha. If you get your Aliyah then, I think that you shouldn't ask to read. You could read on a different round. It might be different on Simchas Torah because lots of people do know, it's not quite the same kind of a bush on Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a balagan anyway, so it doesn't matter as much. But in principle, that's the same principle Tosos articulates here. That it's not from the Gemara, but Tosos says that we're not going to put tzitzis on anybody or kosher tzitzis on anybody because then it's a mockery of the people who didn't wear tzitzis b'chayehem. Now, the truth is today, an argument could be made in the Frum community why you should go back to the old practice. Because I would say, that they do tzitzis checks in Ramaz. It actually baffles me. I know that there are some kids who have sensory issues, but I do not understand
why kids have, unless you have sensory issues, why kids have such, you know, difficulties with tzitzis issues. It's such a beautiful mitzvah. You know, my wife has said to me that she's mekane on this, right? That the idea that you envelop yourself in tzitzis, and it's so easy to do, and it's not like, it's not even like tefillin. Like tefillin at least requires an effort. Like tzitzis, you just put the beged on. But it could be bizman hazeh, when most firm adult Jewish men do wear tzitzis, that maybe we could do Perry, and you know, it's no longer the reality of old. But anyway, that's what Tosa says in their context. And he quotes another example, Kedetanya, Beperek Basar, Brishona Hayimat Bilan Agav Nidos Mesos, Foyachayos Mispaishos. So they used to do some type of a tefillah, whatever the context was, when women who died when they were Nidos, some Tuma issue, but then the women who were Nidos who were alive were embarrassed. The Skinu Shimat Bilam Alakol, they would always do this tefillah. So that's what Tosa says. The reason why, the question is, why don't we put tzitzis on our mesim? The answer is because most of our chayim don't wear tzitzis, and therefore to put it on the mace would be lo igla rush. It would be the exact opposite, and therefore we don't put tzitzis that are ksheros on the mace. Finally, Tosas quotes one other suggestion, which is rather interesting. He says, "Va'od yesh ksas smach leminagenu shemesirin hatzitzis mi meseches smachos." Now, Meseches Smachos, I think we mentioned this last week. Meseches Smachos is this Mesechta Zuta. It's not one of the 63 Mesechtas in Shas, but there's a lot of Hilchas Avelos, a lot of Minhagim, more so Minhagim than Halacha Avelos, that comes from this Meseches Smachos. So Tosa says, we may be relying upon Meseches Smachos. Sha'aba Sha'ul Tziva Zbanav, Kivruhu Tachas Margaloso Shel Aviv, Va'atiru Tcheles Me'an Pilyono. Abba Sha'ul, when he died, I believe he was the one who told his children to bury him in the gray garments, not Shchorim, not Levanim. I think it was Abba Sha'ul. And amongst the instructions he gave them was to remove the tzitzis from his garment. Now, Mihu Tosa says, Taima Shel Abba Sha'ul Lo Nisparer. Abba Sha'ul's reason, we don't know. But that's what he told them. And maybe our minhag is following Abba Sha'ul. Now, one thing that's interesting from a systemic perspective, and Tosos, this Tosos doesn't address this, but our Tosos and Nida does address it, is that how can we rely upon Meseches Smachos against the Gemara? This is not a Gemara. These are Mesechtos of Brisos Mishnayos that are from the Gaonic period. They were never really canonized in the official sense. And the question is, do we believe that Meseches Smachos is reliable or not? This comes up in other places in Shas as well. Perhaps one of the most important issues that depends upon this question. Are there any Kohanim here? What's that? You pointed to each other? Okay. So, the Kohanim, if you've ever had a watch, you know, that was on a mace when a mace died, so it's possible that you're not allowed to be in the same room with that watch. That watch is Metame Ba'ohel, Tomas Mace. It's a special din called Cherev Hareyu Kachalal, that a metal, or maybe any kli except for an earthenware kli, that's a machlokas, that comes in contact, or maybe even the same oil as a dead person, is like a dead person. It's an avi avos hatoma, and if you touch it, you are now tame, we're going to the mikveh, it doesn't help you. You need the sprinkling of the paraduma waters. So the question is a kohen allowed to be metame to, not a mace itself, but to the cherev that touched the mace, to the metal kli that touched the mace? So that's actually two deos in Shulchan Aruch. And the basis for being Meka, which we are lenient on that, is a passage found in Meseches Smachos, where the passage says that any tuma that a Kohen, that a Nazir, would not have to stop his Nazirus and restart over, a Kohen is allowed to be Metame too. And the Mishnayos in Nazir say that a Nazir is not, it's not that it's usher for Nazir to become Tame at all. He's only not allowed to come in contact with a dead person, him or herself. In other words, but any Tumah that's sort of derivative of the mace, but not the body of the mace, a Nazir, if it comes in contact with it, he doesn't shave his head and restart his Nazirus and bring the Karbanos. He might have to pause his Nazirus, but it's not a restart. He's not Megaleach. So this Meseches Smachos says that any Tumah that a Nazir is not Megaleach on, a Kohen is not prohibited from being Metame to. And Rabbeinu Tam questions, he says we don't rely upon Smachos there. So it's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. We are lenient, I think. I assume Kohanim's practice is to be lenient. But it's the very same question. Can you rely upon these external Mesechtos? Our Tosas and Nida use a funny term. He calls it Sfarim Hachitzonim.
those of you familiar with the term Sfar Machitzonim usually means Apocrypha. Right? The Gemara says that HaKori B'Sfar Machitzonim Ein Lo Chelek B'Olam Haba in the Mishnah. So they don't mean Sfar Machitzonim that way. They meant these non-Talmudic, non-official Talmudic Masechtos. So Tosos suggests here in Nida and in where we are in Avodah Zarah, sometimes we rely upon Masechtos Smachos. One very practical example we do all the time. What are we laying on a tiny tzibur? Vayichal. If you look in the Mishnah in Megillah, and the Gemara doesn't disagree, the Mishnah says you're supposed to read from the Brachos and Klalos, from the Tochacha, in either Bechukosai or in Kisavo on a Tainis. But we don't read that on a Tainis. Read Vayichal. Tosa says we're following Masechtos Machos. So we have things like that, where we do follow Masechtos Machos on certain practices. So that's what Tosa suggests that we are doing here. Okay, so Tosus has come up really with a couple of answers to explain why we don't put tzitzis on our mesim. Either we're following Masechtos Smachos, or for our mesim, since they didn't wear tzitzis most of them when they were alive, to put it on them when they're dead would be a lo igla rush. It would be doing the exact opposite of what the Gemara was trying to accomplish, to put tzitzis on them, and therefore we don't put tzitzis on there. Now, when you come down to the halacha, so the Tur writes the following. This is the next source. The Tur writes...
Our point of
clarity. Yes.
So, what our practice?
Right.
So we do, right? People are they? You put a talus on the mess.
Right.
And then you pass over the tzitzit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not lo igla rosh.
So that strikes me as very strange. It would be better not to put anything there. Yeah, so I don't think that is real. I don't know what they were doing in medieval Ashkenaz. It may have been they removed the tzitzis completely before they put the mace there, before they buried the mace. Our practice does seem strange. Possibly in one corner seems to be the worst of all worlds. Right? That I can't explain. So let's take a look at how this comes down later. The Torah writes the following. Tachricha emes mutar lasosa mikilayim. Fine, that's straightforward. You're allowed to make the shrouds from kilayim. Ubeinan hatolas tzitzis bohem. You have to put tzitzis in them. I'm sorry, beinan hatolas tzitzis bohem. Ika plukta. This is a machlokas. Plukta the rabbas. This is a machlokas. Yesh omrim lahatil bohem. Yesh omrim shalom lahatil. Vahar rabbeinu zrach yalevi, the balamor said, kasav b'shem harabi yitzhak ben malki zedek, kishenosin oso lekovro, when you bury him, take him out to bury him, matin limbo tzitzis. You put tzitzis in. Shelo yu no se hamita mutafa betzitzis hubelo tzitzis. So the people carrying the mace are wearing tzitzis. You don't want to have him not wearing tzitzis. Uchshakovin oso, but when they bury him, not lenoso mimenu, they remove it at that point. Now, this is kind of a pshara. It's kind of a compromise. The Rabbeinu Zrach HaLevi, the Balamor, lived in Provence, which was the area of southern France. So it was kind of an area that was, it was a sort of a cross-pollinated area between Ashkenaz and Sfarad. So Rabbeinu Zrach, the Balamor, says that you put tzitzis on him, you carry him out that way, then you take it away before you bury him. You're kind of getting both. You avoid the lo igla rush of the people who are carrying wearing tzitzis where he's not, and then when you bury him, you take the tzitzis away. U'bishas petiras Rabbeinu Gershon. When Rabbeinu Gershon died, Amar, tzitzis chutz. That's what he said. Tzitzis chutz. V'nistapku bedvarav. They weren't sure what he meant. Imratza lomar sheyasiru mehatalis. Oh, sheyotziyam chutz la'aron. That he wanted to take the tzitzis off, or he wanted to let the tzitzis hang out of the coffin. V'yesh mekoma shekoshrin oso b'knaf ha-beged. Some sort of tie them up in the beged, so they're not so you can't really see them. V'ramban kosav ein b'zeh shum safek. Ela ein kovern ha-meis, ela b'tal sheish bo tzitzis. The Ramban says, he's minag of Catalonia, minag of Spain, is that you bury in tzitzis. And the Shulchan Aruch, just following the tour, Sefbeis and Kovenas Ames Ela Betala Sheish Bo Tzitzis, the Mechaber Paskins like the Ramban, but the Ramah comes along, Hagavi Yeshomim to Ein Tzarech Tzitzis. Some say you don't need, Vinagu Lekover Bet Tzitzis, Ach Sheposan Tchila Tzitzis, or Korchanecha Mea Knafos. You passel the Tzitzis, either by probably cutting one off, or you could roll up one of the corners, so it's not a beged of Arba Kanfos anymore. That's what the Ramah says the practice is. Why?
Yeah.
It's the same compromise position. Like you take the mace, it's like the Balamor in effect. You take the mace out and sits us, but
it doesn't make sense.
I know. It doesn't. Right? Because you're really highlighting the inequity. So I don't know. But then the Aruch HaShulchan says the following, the last source. Wow. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, The Akshav HaMinag HaPoshut B'chol Tfutzos Yisrael, which probably means Ashkenaz, Shenosim HaMeis B'Tzitzis, V'Kodim Shemanichan Oso B'Kever, Notkin Tzitzis Echad Me'edalas Tzitzios. If you tear off one of the four Tzitzios. V'yeshenagu Lintoko Sabibayis, Kodim Hotzoso L'Kfura, Avotov Yoso L'Natka Kodim HaKfura. Some have the Minag before you carry the Meis out, that's when you do it. He says it's better to do it at the time of K'fura. I could be wrong, I've never really been involved, but I get the sense they do it before they take the Meis out. Yeah. They do it. The Chevra Kaddish does it earlier. That's just because I've never seen it done in a few. You know, when they go to the cemetery, and I've never seen it done there. Then he says, "V'shamati bebirur." I've heard definitely, not a rumor. Al shnei gedolei hador. There were two gedolei hador. Echad siva, echad mitalmidav. Sheyikbaro sobechol tzitziosav. One of them commanded one of his students that he should be buried with all the tzitzis intact. For Oso Talmud, that student, Kashiyigiyu lahabashas tachrichav, when they reached the point where they had to put the tzitzis on, chosh b'meav, he had a stomachache, v'yotza lachutz, and he went outside. The osam shehu bishuhu lo yadamizeh. The other students didn't know. V'nitku achas me'at tzitzis kinog. They did what you normally do. V'teichav, and then suddenly nichnas Oso Talmud, he entered. He saw they had done the tzitzis. V'hischil litzok, he started to scream. The Amruha Gedolim Shahayusham Shezehu Osman Hashemayim Levilti Levli Lishnos. It was a simon from God. You're not supposed to change the midhat. The Hasheni, the second one, who commanded them not to do it, he made it to the grave with the tzitzis. But Kishenichu Bekeverim Kalat Tzitzios, when they put him in the grave, Nistabcha Achas Meatzitzis Beyoseid Shebetocha Kever. One of his tzitzis got tangled in one of the pegs in the grave. Vinitka Meatzma, and it got torn off by itself. The Ra'u Bechush, they sensed Shemin Hashemayim Gazru came. Okay, Harishon Haya Hagrazal, and knowing everything we know about the Grazal makes perfect sense. The Hasheni, I don't know what this is, Haya Chosid Morena Harav Zalmanzal Me Hordena or something, Baal Yesod Vishoresh Ravoda, it must be a Sefer Shetziva Gam Kein Lanicho B'chol Hatzitzios. So there are a couple of Gedolim. By the way, there are similar stories about this told. This is almost a trope. We don't do Birchas Kohanim every day, and it's really ridiculous. Like, to not bear it's a big deal one way or the other. It's Chaval that we don't do Birchas. Svardim do it. I've never been here that early for the Svardik men here, but I assume they duchen every day. If I might say, if I davened here, that might be a reason I would daven with them when they were davening. For the mitzvahs, I say the Reis of Birchas Kohanim. Minhag Ashkenaz is not to do it. It's very, very difficult. The Ramah explains that we're not Shriyim B'Simchon Chutz Laretz, except for on Yom Tov. Who says you have to be B'Simchon Birchas Kohanim? Okay, that's the Minhag Ashkenaz. But there's stories told about two Gedolim who tried doing it, and one of them, a fire burned down the shul, another one, he was imprisoned by the Russian authorities or something like that, so it never happened. The Aruch HaShulchan does mention them, but he doesn't name any names there. But I was almost certain when I heard the story, the Gro was one of them as well, but I'm not sure that that's true. So this is a little bit of a trope. It's like, we're going to change the Minhag, and all of a sudden God sends a signal and it doesn't happen. So, okay. So the bottom line is that this is really the end of our digression, but the Gemara, our Gemara says that you're allowed to make Tachriche HaMeis out of Kelayim, a Begich of about Kelayim, and Tosas says certainly if the Begich is straight up Kelayim, because either way, nobody's going to try to get Hana from the shrouds of a dead person, because it's Aser B'Hana, so you don't have to worry about someone wearing it. The question is, what do you do with the Gemara Menachos that says that you have to put Tzitzis on a Meis? And to that, there are a couple of suggestions that have been made. One might be that is... we saw too. Rashbam suggests that there's no Hana in... There's no Iser Kalayim on a Meis because he's not getting any physical Hana. The problem, of course, is that if that's the case, then there's no Mitzvah of Tzitzis either by Meis because he's not getting Hana Slavisha either. And the answer that Rabbeinu Tam put forward is that the mitzvah of tzitzis is a highly unusual mitzvah. It's so chashuv that we don't want to keep away from a meis. Whereas kelayim is really just a regular mitzvah. I'm not going to read it, but there's another teretz in our Tosfos who suggests that may be the machlokas between the two gemaras. The Gemara Menachos is following Rabbi Yanai that the meisim are chayiv in tzitzis. So when they get up from the dead, and therefore you don't want them getting up not wearing kelayim, not wearing tzitzis in their regadim. But our Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that by meisim chavshi that there are no mitzvahs, and that's why you're allowed to put kelayim. But in principle, according to that teretz in our Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, the din would be the same. It's either no kelayim and yes tzitzis, or no tzitzis and yes kelayim. And then the second issue is, how do you resolve the Minhag Ashkenaz not to put tzitzis on the meis? And there, Tosfos prefers the option of the fact that our Chaim don't actually wear tzitzis, and therefore it would be loeg larush, it would be mocking them, putting tzitzis on them when they die. Or perhaps we are relying upon a different tradition, not the Gemara Menachos, but the Mishnah Maseches Machos, which says that that Abba Shaul commanded his children to remove the tzitzis from his begadim before they buried him. Adrian?
I don't know if this is a quick question, but did the Gemara discuss why women don't have...
Well, it depends. I mentioned last time that if you hold that tzitzis is a chovas, it's a chovas ha-beged, then women are chayav in tzitzis. The Gemara talks about certain tanoim who used to put tzitzis on everybody, every member of their family's household. But we paskin that it's not a chovas ha-beged. We paskin that it is a chovas ha-gavra, and that it's dependent upon yom v'layla. There's 2 days, but we then we hold that there's no. It doesn't matter what the beged is. If you wear a beged during the day, it's chayav in tzitzis. If you wear the beged at night, it's pater in tzitzis, and tzitzis in mitzvah aseh shezman grama. That's why women are exempt.
A certain wiki text that a woman is becoming, if you say the bracha shelo asani isha, isn't that loeg larush?
That's a good question. there are certain rabbis who dismiss, you know, who dismiss that question. Let's put it this way: I say the bracha because I'm very conservative lowercase in terms of nusach hatfilah, but I don't understand how certain rabbis who say it and defend it, why they're not uncomfortable. Let me put it that way. It is something to make someone profoundly uncomfortable. I'm not even going to engage in the apologetics of it. Okay.
So one,
yes.
Why would that
so
be
because we're talking Kalayim and Sitzis for the mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there something that you
it's fascinating that you say that. Right. I haven't seen anybody really talk about that question. I mean,
it's an obvious one.
I'll tell you why I think it's coincidental. What is it that tzitzis and kalayim both have in common? They both deal with begadim.
Yeah.
How many? Why would you put tefillin? In other words, nobody's going to say put tefillin on a mace for more than one reason, right? Because it wouldn't be normal to do. But you do put the shrouds. They probably put on the mace. I mean, today what we have to do is we bury a mace with his talus typically. But they, his regular beged that they would have put on him would have required tzitzis. So the question immediately raises itself: you're putting a beged on the mace. What are mitzvahs of begadim? The answer is two prime mitzvahs of begadim are tzitzis and kalayim. But I don't think it's something that is actually intrinsic. Okay.